Now let us turn, please, in the Word of God to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. And we'll commence reading from verse 11. Judges 6:11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. Thou come again. Then if we move on to verse 25. And it came to pass that the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer a sacrifice, burnt sacrifice, with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And he said, and they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Amen. We'll end the reading there and trust that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. Now we come back again in our study of the Judges, and specifically as we have been considering Gideon amongst one of the judges. We saw in the past how God had called a timid man named Gideon to be a judge in Israel, a savior of Israel. Israel was already under oppression under the wicked Midianites. And as we have seen already, Gideon appears to be very afraid. He is not the most likely candidate to be the deliverer of Israel. He's hiding to begin with. He is trying to thresh the floor. He's trying to gather food and then to hide it from the Midianites who would steal them. And then the Lord comes to him and the Lord speaks to him words such as, "Thou son of man of valor," and "to go in thy might," and so on. God speaks to him words that is so different to the attitude and to the words of Gideon. How he feels about himself is not the way God speaks to him. And we saw how the Lord called him to be a man whom the Lord wants to use. God guides him. God instructs him. And as we continue to look at the account of Gideon, we will see him, how God prepares him. The Lord, when He calls a man, also prepares a man. When the Lord calls us to do a task for Him, He already has begun the process of preparation. And He does that through small steps. He applies the pressure through small opportunities that He gives us. He gives us strength and He shows us of His faithfulness, that He will be with us and He will help us. And yet we are called to take steps of faith. Even though we don't know the end, yet the Lord calls us to take those steps of faith. And it is a testing period. And so what we find in Gideon is that he, even though he has his doubts, even though he feels weak, yet he stands against the false religion that was held in his village, the Baal worship, that even his own family, his own father, had been involved in, which was a great spiritual bondage at that time. Israel had brought in false religion. Israel had become indoctrinated by the teachings around them, and they thought they can put their trust in the false gods of the nations around them. And so what Gideon does, with all of his weakness, he does what the Lord asks him to do. And so what we find in these verses before us, especially verses 28 onwards, verses 28 to 32, we see the consequences of Gideon, this weak man, putting things into practice, and then God forming him into a man who is stronger. And he increases his faith and shows his faithfulness to him. Gideon's actions caused uproar in the community. Let's look at it again. In verse 28, or even before that, verse 27, we read that then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So he was still fearful, he still had his doubts, he still was afraid of men, but he did it. That's the point. And you find yourself in a similar situation, and the Lord calls you to do something, you are unsure about it, you are fearful, you wonder what would people do, and yet, by God's grace, we take the first steps. We go forward. We do the things that we know it is right, and it is what God has called us to from His Word. So this is what he does. In the consequences is this, verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered up upon the altar that was built. So they see their altar to Baal is desecrated, Baal is cut down, and there has been an offering made, not to Baal, but to the Lord. And then they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" So they begin to inquire. And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." So it became known that it was Joash who had done this. And so they go after Joash. Gideon's action caused such an issue, an uproar in that community, in that place. And friends, God was the only one who was pleased with Gideon. Gideon might have been the one who was full of questions and is still concerned, and his heart is racing and he's all concerned, what is going to happen? And so on. And the morning comes and he hasn't been able to sleep at night, he's been busy at night, he can't sleep, he's full of care probably, and then these are after him. And he wonders, what is going to befall me? What will happen to me? But there is one who is smiling. There is one who is pleased with him. Not the men, nobody else, not even his father, but the Lord. And that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing in our lives. Who is pleased? Have we been pleasing the Lord? Or have we been trying to please ourselves? Have we been trying to please our family members? Have we been trying to please those that we are working with? Have we been trying to please people around us? If that is the case, we'll be disappointed. You will be disappointed. You will follow certain paths, try to please people, and then you find yourself in places of compromise and sin. That's always the case. But if you seek to please the Lord, then it doesn't matter what other people might think, and yet the Lord will prosper you. Even in that, people recognize that. You think about Joseph. God was with him, and what happened? He prospered. Unconverted people benefited from his faithfulness. And that's what we find here. It was not Gideon's father who began to reform the family and to cleanse things in the family, but Gideon began the process, and his father was awakened to it. His father was blessed. His family was blessed. Ultimately, the whole community was blessed and the nation was blessed. And it all began with small steps of faithfulness. And all that mattered was that there was one who was pleased with him, and that was the Lord. That's the consequences of being faithful. It is hard. It is difficult. We shed tears. We suffer much as we carry our crosses, but to have the smile of God, that's the most important thing. And we need to be aware of that. One of the consequences of faithfulness is the pleasure of God and the blessing of God. But the other consequences are not so pleasant. We have a clear conscience before God and men. That's such a wonderful thing to have. But when we serve the Lord faithfully and obediently, yes, He is glorified. But those around us who are not following God's word, who are not following the Lord's will, those who are not interested in God's will not understand what we are doing, and we will have to face against them. And so these are the consequences. There is the enmity of those who are there, the locals, are angry with him. So that's one consequence. The greatest consequence of Gideon's obedience is God's glory and God's pleasure, but the second thing is the enmity of those around. And so when the men of the village, they saw that the altar had been destroyed, they demanded to know who had done this. And it wasn't long until they knew that Gideon had destroyed the altar and the grove. And when they found out, they wanted his blood. They wanted to kill him. And so they go after him. This is always the case. You see that in the lives of all the men of God. But we see this so clearly in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often, from his birth, people were after him to murder him and to kill him. And yet he continued on, persevered to the end. And that became a blessing for his household, the family of God. And we are part of that. But this is what we see in Gideon. They went to his father's house. They demanded of his father, Joash, that Gideon be put to death, and he was worthy of death, and that he had dared to defy Baal. Friends, we are deceiving ourselves. Just to apply this, we would be deceiving ourselves if we think that everyone is pleased when we obey the Lord. There will be people all around us who will not understand. Family will feel left out. Unspiritual people will feel threatened. Lost people will accuse you of promoting yourself and thinking of yourself being holier than thou and so on. Being presumptuous and arrogant. David faced this with his brothers. He faced opposition. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We read in verse 28, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And then also from Saul, and Saul said to David in verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So this is, again, David is seeking to do what the Lord has called him to. And he goes and says, is there not a cause? But there is this opposition against him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we read of it in John 7, verses 3 and 5. "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." He says, they say to him, go and reveal yourself. This is what you are doing. You are doing it for a show. Well, go ahead and do it. "For neither," it says at the end, "did his brethren believe in him." They didn't believe him. And so they thought, this is the thing. He's trying to keep things. He's being a hypocrite. He's trying to pretend to be godly and spiritual and humble. He said, no, you want to actually reveal yourself. You want to, you're so proud of yourself. You go and do it publicly, in open. But they didn't believe him. Paul faced this kind of opposition. We read it in Acts 9 and verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples." So this was to the disciples. "But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple." So there was a fear in people's minds, the Christians' minds, God's people. They were not certain about this man. So it stands to reason that we can expect opposition to at least misunderstanding. Don't be surprised if God's people misunderstand you. That's not a bad thing. Don't take offense. Don't be too sensitive. If people misunderstand you, there might be a reason behind it. But at the same time, if you're following the word of God, don't just look to the Lord. Don't be discouraged. Instead of giving in to those who oppose us, we must obediently follow the Lord, despite all that some would do to stop us and to say, no, you can't do this. So in our minds, every morning, that's why we need to begin with God. Every morning, you read a portion of God's word and you go before the Lord and begin to realign yourself, your will, your thoughts with his mind, and say, Lord, today I want to serve thee. I want to follow thee. I know I will be opposed at times, but that is fine. I want to just serve thee. And realign yourself. Rather than rushing into things, bring yourself to the throne of grace, and the Lord will strengthen you, and the Lord will bless you. And then it is that you will expect those things, but and when they happen, it is not going to affect you. But if you don't, you'll be affected severely. Now we must move on. Look further. Now to further developments. So there was the opposition that took place. Then you see this. Others are affected by because of the consequences of Gideon's faithfulness. So in verse 31 you read, "And Joash said unto all that stood against him." So his own father was affected by this. What a shame he would have brought upon the family. And so they come to his father and says, "Bring out your son." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him?" And so on. He begins then to talk to these idol worshippers who are offended. So something that will happen, as we see it here, as a consequence of your faithfulness, others in your family will be affected by it. And Gideon's father's response to the attack against his son is quite interesting. His response shows that he has come to his senses about false worship, and that he's been corrected, he's been chastened by the faithfulness of his son. I hope you see this. Before, his father was an idol worshipper. There is no mention of his father being upset about the state and the condition in which he was in and his family were in. And this is a great encouragement to us. Here is a man who has a faithful son. What an encouragement it is for you. It's not just you serving the Lord, but you're affecting your families by being faithful yourself, by looking to follow the Lord. Your family watch over and see the changes. And they have to at times come and say, "Well, my son, my daughter is doing this because of this and this." And they're trying to be consistent to their faith. They're trying to live out their faith and so on. They may not agree with you, but they will respect you. And that's quite important. And here it is that this the father of Gideon is helped and he's awakened. He realizes that he has been the one at fault. And so he begins to question the whole matter of Baal worship. And he begins to make fun of Baal. And so he says, again, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning, for he be a god. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." What is he saying? He's basically saying that, will you intercede for Baal? Will you be the savior of Baal? Do you want to save your god? If you are still foolish enough to serve Baal, you should be stoned to death. As the law commands, if Baal is really a god, let him come to his own defense. If Baal is real, he shouldn't need you to help him. That's what Joash is basically saying. You see, when Gideon took his became obedient, and he took his obedient stand and honored the Lord's will in his life, God used that to touch his family. The altar of Baal was on Gideon's father's land. It was his idol. And when Joash saw the faith of his own son and the inability of Baal to protect himself, his heart turned to the Lord. He began to question Baal. He is not a god. If he needs a savior, if he can't get himself up, if he can't protect himself, if he needs us to plead for him. In other words, Gideon's faith was used to deliver his family from a spiritual bondage. Gideon did not seek to become like the rest, but the rest saw the faithfulness and the consistency. Now, you have brothers, sisters, you have family members. At this moment in time, they might have walked away from the things of God. They are not converted. They are maybe backslidden. What should you do to reach them? Pray for opportunities. That's what you need to do. Not to be, especially with those that you see regularly. You know that it's not one of those things that you may not see them again. But so therefore you don't have to bring things up all the time again and again and again. We have to be wise and pray for opportunities. But live consistently. Live godly life. And the effect of that has been seen in so many lives. Here is one example. So be encouraged by that. You might say, well, I've not said anything. Again, I've been on holiday. My family were there. And I didn't say anything about the Lord. I didn't tell them. I didn't ask them questions. Well, you've done that before probably. But you don't have to do that every time. But you need to be faithful to the Lord. Don't compromise. There's no mention that Gideon said anything to his father at all. But the Lord convicts. And that's what we need. So the result of obedience, of your obedience, may not be so dramatic, but God will use the obedient life to get glory for himself. That's what you want. You don't want just salvation of souls. You don't want people just to get right with God, but you want God's glory. He could use your obedience to change your family. He could use your obedience to there are things that you see that needs correcting and needs changing in the life here, in this church. Live a godly life yourself. Pray much for these things. Our community, the country, well, pray much. It was said of John Knox that his prayers caused the Queen to shake, and he, through his trust in the Lord, Scotland was transformed. The Lord has, as he has done in the past, he might use the obedience of a single individual to change a country. And we've seen, I've seen personally, the salvation of one person, an obedience of one person in one family, resulting in the salvation of parents. I've seen one child who went to a Sunday school and then was converted and then grew up, and his parents were converted after that, through this child's witness. And then the rest of the family were converted. So be encouraged. Don't be cast down of missing opportunities at times. Be faithful yourself. Let's move on. So Joash's or Gideon's father, Joash, stands for his son, Gideon. He stands against the idolaters who have come. And what we read is this in verse 32. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. He says, let Baal plead. Now, what we find in Gideon in the following verses, again, here is a man who the Lord is working upon. Here is a man who has achieved one step, taken one step. The Lord has blessed him, and the Lord has influenced others within his family. Here is a man who has cut down this grove and the Baal, and his father has spoken on his behalf and has said, has even changed the name of him to Jerubbaal. Baal plead against him. And one of the greatest benefits of this entire event, as you think about these words that you've read, was in the life of Gideon himself. God wasn't just working to transform a nation, but he was transforming one person. One person at a time, the Lord was working in. All Gideon knew was that the Lord was calling him to do a great work. He was afraid and he was unsure how things will work out. But as Gideon followed the Lord in this matter, he learned that God would walk with him. God would be the one who had said, "I would protect you. I will give you the victory." And that information would serve him well as the task that the Lord would give him and what he would be called to do, the greater and larger things that the Lord would call him to do. He has seen that through this small step, my father has changed. He's happy to have no idols. Our home has been reformed and changed and cleansed from idol worship. We have been able to establish again godly worship in our home. And Gideon learned on that day that God was able. He learned that God was more powerful than the false gods and the pagan idols. He learned that God was greater than his enemy. That the Lord was greater than all of the concerns and the fears that he had. He learned that God would keep his word and that God would protect his servant. And that was very important information, valuable information for Gideon, for a future deliverer like Gideon. That even though through his faithfulness and faithful act, his family would be convicted and changed. And what about other families? If this is what God has done within my home, would God do the same in the nation, families of this nation? When we first start to follow the Lord by faith, we are all a lot like Gideon. And there are times of setback as well. We achieve certain things. The Lord blesses us in so many ways. And then there could be times of setback. Often is. So that we may not be proud. We may not trust ourselves. Not to give glory to ourselves. We can be filled with doubt. Maybe this evening you are filled with doubt. You are filled with fears. You see your problems and sins and temptations and variety of things as being so great you cannot achieve much. But God leads us step by step. And we will see Him give victory after victory. He's the one who is developing our faith, training us. We are in his training camp, as it were. Trust him. Day by day, trust him. And as he leads you, then he opens up greater things for you. That's his plan for us. One of the greatest things is the living of a consistent, holy life through your life. And that's what a testimony that is. For a man who you might be not known to this world, but to local church, to local people, to children of the church. Here is a young man. Here's a young woman. Here's an older woman. An older man. And the Lord has kept them consistently. They've served the Lord without great noise, but they have been faithful to the Lord. That's a great miracle. Some of you are much farther along than you used to be. You are now willing to trust the Lord far more than you could have at the first. You are not as worried when something happens, when some illness comes or some trial comes. You are able to bear those things because you've experienced God's goodness to you in the past. You've experienced this and that's matured you to see God in your life. Where did that faith come from? It came from God. It came from seeing Him move mountains and to meet the needs and answer the prayers and lifting up your burdens in the past. It came from seeing His power at work in and around you. It came because He developed you step by step, day by day, and event by event. He hasn't finished with us yet. And if you are a young man, young woman in the faith, and one of the things that shows that we are still in the early days is we want to see changes right now. And we want to move fast. We want to get to that place of maturity fast. Now, it's a good thing to want to achieve those things. But we must ask for patience and help for every day. Take one day at a time. Begin the day with God. Say, Lord, I want to be here. I am reading thy word. I am reading a life, a biography. I'm reading church history. I see thee working in people's lives in great ways. But Lord, I am not there yet. I want to be there. But today, help me. Today, provide for me. The Lord will work in that situation. God has some altars that he wants you to see torn down in your life, in the life of others, in the life of this nation, in the life of this community. He still has some work that he wants you to do. He still has a plan, and he still has made you to be part of that plan. And so everything that God allows, and more accurately, everything that God sends into our lives is a teaching experience. He uses all the events of our lives to teach us about his grace, his power. He uses the valleys and he uses the mountains to train us. It's all part of the training. You don't get out of that school. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me and then learn of me, he says. So if you are saying, I'm coming to the Lord Jesus every day, then we have to say, we are also learning of him. Then we have to say, I'm also carrying my cross. Then you say, I'm also fighting the good fight of faith. So here is Gideon. We have gone through one chapter of his life, one lesson of faith in his life. It all began by the Lord going to him. Gideon was not going after the Lord. That's very important. Throughout all of this, we see the sovereignty of God. It is God who is going to meet the needs of man, not the other way around. It is God who sees our great need of him. So I trust you're encouraged by this. I trust that when you see the discouragement in your family, the unbelief in your homes, the discouragements that you might find here amongst us, and as we talked about it last Lord's Day evening, in every church there are issues, there are things, there are controversies. And you might see things, you might be discouraged in certain things. Say to yourself, well, I cannot change anybody else. I cannot do anything. I cannot enforce anything. But I can call on God, Lord, change me. Lord, work thou in me. That's the one thing we may do, even this evening. Well, may God bless these few thoughts upon his word. Amen.